Sporting since it started just over 4 years ago. This is in Penzance, and the church planters are a couple called Murray and Karen Golder. Murray and Karen used to be missionaries in Kyrgyzstan with WEC, for those of you that know WEC, moved back because their youngest daughter was not well, and became Baptist ministers in Derby, where the church grew and was very successful, but then felt called to church plant in Penzance. Now, there are lots of churches in Penzance, don't get me wrong. So they didn't want to just go and replicate something that was there. But you know the way that in most towns and cities, there's groups of people that as hard as the church tries to reach them, they struggle to reach those people for one reason or another. And it was those folks that these guys felt called to go and reach with the gospel in Penzance. So they arrived and we supported them in this and we prayed and they were praying hard for over a year. And the two groups of people that God led them to were artists. There's lots of artists in that part of the world, as you probably know. Apparently the light is very good. And they all say they're spiritual, but they'll never darken the doors of a church. And the other group, because of their daughter's health needs, were children, so families with children with additional needs, who some of them would love to go to church, and churches would love them to go, but just the way that we do things is just a bit of a nightmare for some families where the kids have got certain additional needs. So they were trying to figure out, how can we share the gospel with these guys? How can we encourage them in faith, and believing that they will come to Christ, how can we then be church in a different way? Let me, long story short, because you can watch the videos of the interim period, but let me bring you up to date. Just over a year ago, a Christian businessman who had a shop unit in the one shopping centre that there was in Penzance heard what they were doing and said, would you like the shop unit, rent-free, completely? If you can pay the bills on the lighting and heating, you can use this rent-free. It's literally right in the middle, next to the Costa, opposite the Salt Rock. It's right in the middle of this shopping centre. So they call themselves Breathe Communities. Breathe Communities have now opened a shop, which is an arts place. So they have a theme, which could be hope, or light, or journey, or wholeness. And every couple of weeks, that's the theme in the window, every couple of weeks it changes. But everyone that comes into the shop, lots of artists, lots of families with children with additional needs, and whoever else, this is the theme, and they're encouraged to explore what that means for them through art, through sculpting, through poetry, through songwriting, through photography. It's all very creative. Every 2 weeks, they gather together. It's not a service, because if they called it a service, people wouldn't come. It's an exhibition morning. But they all come together, and all of these guys then share, when you said to me, wholeness, this is what I thought, so that's what I drew. And this is what I thought, so this is the song that I've written. Almost like everyone bringing a psalm and a hymn type of thing. And then the guys share with them what scripture says about the theme, what they as Christians believe, and they'll have testimonies from Christians about what that means to them. Not a month has gone by in the last year where there hasn't been someone that's come to faith in Jesus as a result of this Christian witness. That, sisters and brothers, wouldn't be happening if you weren't supporting it. So that's not their mission, that's your mission. That's God's mission, ultimately, that you are supporting. You're part of that story. And here's the good news. If you go on our Facebook page, all the details are on the back of your leaflet. If you go on our Facebook page, today you will see pictures of the first baptisms since they opened. In the sea, yesterday, because they're hardcore down in that part of the world. With wetsuits, it has to be said. So they baptized people for the first time yesterday. And if you want to see the pictures, like our Facebook page, or Instagram or Twitter, we do them all. That could not happen if we were individual churches just focused on our own thing. That can only happen because we're called to be part of a family, to support beyond our own to others, recognizing that God works out his purposes in other places through his vision and through his mission. I said we'd pray for him this morning, so can I pray for him now? And then I'm going to shut up and hand back to the boss. Is that all right? The whole thing's a good book, but this particular letter is a great letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He was probably under house arrest at the time in Rome, and the whole thing, in contrast to some of the other letters, is not trying to correct wrongs or trying to put things right. It's just gushing with affection. The whole letter's beautiful, and of course, the standout passages are just littered through Philippians. Most of you will go to chapter 2, which is this great image of who Jesus is, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, becoming a servant. That's just wonderful. Of course, that should be a go-to passage in this book. And it's got those like fridge magnet verses as well in it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and it's all on your fridges, isn't it, and your car stickers. These are good things, and it's great that these are go-tos. But the problem is that we miss out on some other good stuff in this letter if we just go to those particular places, including this passage at the beginning, Philippians chapter 1. I'll challenge you later on. It'll take you less than an hour to read the whole book. So there you go. Will you do it? Because that's a far better thing than anything I'm going to say. Go and read the book, and the Spirit of God will speak to you through it. Okay, okay? I probably should just shut up now, but I'm not going to quite yet. Here we go. The little verse, or the few verses I'd like us to look at this morning. Is there a PowerPoint that will come up at some point? Wonderful. There we go. And the next slide, please. So these are the verses that I'd love us to look at this morning. Verse 3 through to verse 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. These are read past verses very often, but we're going to stop on them today and consider them. And particularly this phrase, partnership in the gospel. What was the Apostle Paul meaning when he used this phrase to write to this fledgling church in Philippi whilst he was under house arrest, miles and miles and miles away in Rome? What did he mean by partnership in the gospel? Next slide, please. For the Greek scholars amongst us, you will know that the word that is written here, that Paul wrote, that for partnership is koinonia. I'll read it for you, for those of you that aren't Greek speakers. Koinonia, which, when I say that, those of you who may have been around the church for a while will have heard to refer very often to as fellowship. Koinonia very often is fellowship. That's fine. Except that when I say the word fellowship to an evangelical church, most of them think this. Next slide, please. That, the fellowship meal, yeah? Now, clearly, I'm not against that idea, so please don't stop doing that. In fact, hospitality is a really underused gift in the church. Have you ever wondered why, like, after someone's been to Alpha and they've had all those wonderful free meals, and then they get to know Jesus and they become part of the church, and then they start asking, why have all the free meals dried up? It's like we've kind of got the idea that it's a good thing, but not quite. But anyway, that's an aside. We can talk about that later or some other time. The point is that that isn't quite, I think, what Paul meant. I go around a lot of churches, and the truth of it is if I say fellowship to some of our churches, they won't even think that, they'll think this. Next slide, please. They'll think that 10 minutes at the end of a service, when you have your cup of coffee, I'm sure yours is great, but in lots of churches it's really not, believe me. Your bad coffee, yeah, and your rich tea biscuit, yeah? I don't know why it's a rich tea biscuit, but they may be more sanctified than most. And don't tell me that this has never happened to you, because it has, hasn't it? So there you are at the end in your fellowship time, dunking your rich tea and your bad coffee, and something like, and when this happens, a little part of you dies inside, doesn't it? And there's just a moment where you're thinking, can I scoop the biscuit out and still eat it and retain any sense of dignity? And the answer is, of course, no. And then you're thinking, can I drink the coffee or the tea past the biscuit? And that's not. In one moment of foolishness, your weekly expression of koinonia has been destroyed, and there it is, lying, floating in the top of your cup of semi-poor coffee. I'm pretty sure that's not what the Apostle Paul meant when he used this phrase, when he was writing to the church in Philippi in the first century. For those of you that are interested, next slide, please. There's a number of ways that this word koinonia can be translated. It can be translated as fellowship, and it can be translated as partnership or communion or association. But you go and read the letter to the church in Philippi. It's full of affection. It's full of love. Paul is deeply, deeply and passionately loving this church. So I think the meaning he meant was that last one, close relationship. Yeah? Thank my God for the close relationship in the gospel that I have with you. Right, now it starts to take on a slightly different complexion and something that I think is important for us to hear today. Next slide, please. My tutor, I was at Spurgeon's College, that's where I did my theology, with Andy Percy, actually, and I've been reading that book this week as well. And he would have kind of marked my sermons along the lines of Carl has interesting narrative style, which is subtext where he waffles on. So today, you are privileged to have the three P's of partnership. Do you see what I've done there? My preaching tutor will be proud of me. It will keep me focused, and hopefully it'll be easy for you to remember. So here's the three P's of partnership. Number one, when Paul uses this word koinonia in this letter, he means prayer. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Paul was remembering in prayer these people on God's mission in another place. Do you? Do I? Do we? Because it's important that we uphold each other in prayer in our place. Absolutely essential. But I believe it's also important that we are those that pray, as someone did earlier, for people in other parts of the world as well, whether that is overseas, through Tear Fund, or through the Baptist Missionary Society who you support, or through other overseas mission agencies. Or, in fact, those who are missionaries on God's mission in the UK. So that when we talk about partnering together, we aren't simply just talking about a financial gift, a column on a spreadsheet. We're talking about a close relationship, a knowledge of each other, which means that we can pray with a sense of affection for one another. Can you do that for the churches in the leaflet? That's my challenge. And if you can't, well, abundantly, that's really possible these days. Because all it takes is an email. Andy's got all their email addresses, and if you haven't, I can give them to you. Or a phone call. Or do you know what? In some churches, they even Skype them on a Sunday morning, or in a church meeting, and have a face-to-face conversation, which you could do. You could meet Karen and Murray via the wonders of the interweb at your next church meeting. Or in some other way, but to have a knowledge of them so that when you pray with a sense of affection and also with intelligence about what is going on in their place at this point in time. They'd be so, so encouraged. And hear me, they're also praying for you guys. So this is a two-way relationship. This is a sense of wanting to uphold each other in God with the love that God gives us, one for each other. Look, number one, I think Paul uses this word koinonia to mean praying in partnership with each other. But the second P, next one please, is presence. Another little passage that's not very well read in Philippians is in chapter 2. And it talks about Epaphroditus. I said in one of our churches some time ago, has anyone heard of Epaphroditus? And a little old lady said, I think the doctor gave me cream for that this week. It's not a rash. Okay. It's a character in the Bible. We only read about Epaphroditus in Philippians, and he gets a couple of mentions. But in chapter 2, it says these words, 25, verse 25. I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. You can read on. Turns out Epaphroditus is a really good person from the church in Philippi, who the church commissioned and sent to help Paul out in Rome. Now, the journey between Philippi and Rome, even today, is not a short journey. But in the first century, it would have been a fairly perilous journey, not an easy one to take. Epaphroditus wasn't just some random person who was kind of on the edge of the church. Epaphroditus most likely was someone who was precious to that church, who was important to that church. They would have missed him when he had gone. Yet they were so convicted that the mission of God in another place where Paul was required assistance and required aid, that they didn't just have a column on their spreadsheet. They didn't just pray, but they actually commissioned and sent someone in the power of the Spirit to go and serve in that place over there. And what a relationship would have been built and strengthened as a result of that innovative approach to God's mission. Maybe you, as a church, have sent missionaries overseas in the past. And if you have, I really hope you're still in contact, in relationship with them. I really hope that you pray for them and support them in that way. And from time to time, churches will send a little delegation to go and visit their missionaries. I remember in Watchet, when I was the minister of Watchet Baptist Church, there was a family, Andrew and Ruth Levitt were the parents, still are, and they moved from a large church in Chippenham, commissioned by the church to come and basically be missionaries in Watchet. We could do with all the help that we could get, so they came. But once a year, there was a delegation from this big church in Chippenham that came to Watchet to check up on them, to make sure that A, they were doing an alright job, and how could the church pray for them, but B, and probably more importantly, checking up on us to make sure we were looking after their people. Now, it turned out that this wasn't even a temporary arrangement. These guys came and they are still there now. But the strength of the relationship between the church in Watchet and that in Chippenham as a result of that is just incredible. So the church prays in Watchet for the church in Chippenham, and the church in Chippenham still for the church in Watchet. It's much bigger than just characters now. There's a real sense of relationship as a result of that. What might that look like for you guys? To send someone on the mission of God to a different part of the world, even if that is just down the road from here. Even if that is in a different place. Or, you guys, all of you, could easily visit one of the home mission churches who you're supporting. It's not that difficult. I'll mention, even if we have no time to watch the video in a minute, Ilfracombe. It's down the road. There's going to be a new mission worker in Ilfracombe starting just after Christmas time. And she and the church there would be so encouraged if just even a group of you turned up and said, "Hi, we're from one of your sister churches, South Moulton. We'd love to know what you're doing. Can we pray for you? Can you update us with how we can carry on praying for you? If you need a hand sometimes, can you tell us and we'll send a couple of our folks? And here's the thing, when we need a hand, we'll let you know and you can come and help us out as well." We're cutting the mustard when we get to that stage. Because we're recognising that we're not just insular. This isn't the sum total of human resource for South Moulton Baptist Church. The kingdom of God is the resource for South Moulton Baptist Church, and is represented through local churches around this area. Look, I think that this is the koinonia that Paul was talking about. It was prayer, it was presencing ourselves in other places and encouraging each other. And the last one, please. It's not about money. It's also about providence. My preaching teacher would said, "You shoehorned that one in, didn't you?" Well, yeah, maybe a little bit. But that's the third P, providence. Here's some verses from right at the end of Philippians in chapter 4. Paul writes this: "I have recently received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." The gift that was sent with Epaphroditus, that quite big distance in first century Palestine, it probably wasn't food. That didn't travel well. It probably wasn't things like clothes. We read elsewhere that Paul was quite handy with a needle and thread. He could knock up a tent when he needed to. It was almost certainly a cash gift, some form of financial cash gift, which would have been most used to Paul when he was under house arrest, so that he could provide for his needs. How wonderful. It also makes Epaphroditus' journey even more remarkable, doesn't it? Talk about painting a big target on your back with bandit country that he would have been travelling through, carrying a gift of money to the Apostle Paul. It clearly got there. And Paul was so grateful. when Paul sends Epaphroditus back to the church in Philippi, almost certainly carrying these words, this letter, with him on his way back, he's so thankful for the provision of that money. The way we ought to look at all that we are blessed with is that God has resourced us, blessed us, so that we can then be a blessing to others. It's another little car sticker, fridge magnet meme for those of you that do Facebook. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. Now that looks like all kinds of different things. It's a sermon for another time. But one of those things that it does look like is being committed to the mission of God, not just here, but beyond South Moulton. When you're giving to home mission, when you're supporting missionaries on these shores and overseas, then you're passing on the blessing of God as he intended. The generosity of God made known to you becomes the generosity of God made known through you to others who are part of God's mission in this world. I'm going to come into land. I don't want to take too much time up, and obviously we've got a nativity rehearsal coming up soon, so let's not run over too much. Next slide, please. Look, this is, I think, on my heart for you guys this morning, and I believe that maybe there's an element of this that's come out in words that God has spoken to us already. It would be foolish of me to read these words without just spending at least a moment referencing another one of those famous verses from Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your koinonia in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, sisters and brothers of South Moulton Baptist Church, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If you're interested in the Greek, that can't be translated differently. There's no way that that could be translated, he might carry it on, or he probably will. There's no sense of doubt in that. He stonewall, abundantly, 100%, the promise of God will carry on to completion that which he has started in you. And here's the word. Some of you have been serving God's kingdom in this place and in other churches for a very long time. And you love Jesus, but you're a little bit tired. Fatigued may be a strong word, but actually, you'd love to see some of the younger ones step up and take on stuff that you're doing. Please don't hear me wrong. If you're a younger one, then this abundantly is a call to be part of God's kingdom. But there's almost a sense that you would love to find that verse, probably in the Old Testament somewhere, that says, well done, good and faithful servants. Here are your ecclesial slippers. Please sit down in the comfy chair and put your feet up now. And you search the scriptures, but you're struggling to find the verse. Look, many have searched and many have failed to find that verse. If you come across it, let me know. Okay, there's your challenge. It's not there. In fact, actually, the way that God views you who've been serving him in his kingdom for a period of time is not the ecclesial slippers. It's fundamentally the cream of the crop. You need to lead the way. My word, the experience of God's kingdom that you've had is worth more than its weight in gold. Please, please be those who are the visionaries, who are those who are passionate for the kingdom, who are those that stir the pot in the kingdom of God and allow the Spirit to speak through you, not just to the younger ones, but to yourselves as well. Why? Because God's not done with you yet. It's not complete. Your work is not done. And because I'm not the one saying that to you. Because if I was, you could go away from this place and say, oh, well, he was, if you were generous, a relatively young, enthusiastic chap. Bless. You can't say that, because it's not me saying this. Let me read this again. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is the word of God speaking, not me. You either choose to believe that, or you choose not to. I can't force, and I wouldn't try and coerce. But there's the challenge. Look, God's not done with you yet. If you've served him for a long time, you can look for the ecclesial slippers, but you won't find them. And be an inspiration to all of those guys that have just gone out, who aren't tomorrow's church, but they're the ones who are the church of today, who, stirred and loved and held by you, will be a mighty missional force in this town for the kingdom of God. And are already. They are already. Through them, their friends and their parents of their friends and others will come to faith. So please, as family in this place, don't stop. It's not complete. In fact, you're just starting. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, thank you that you call us, God, to be family. Well, thank you for your family, the family of God, that we all are happy to hold, Lord, the membership card for. But Lord, thank you, God, that within that there are little groups that walk together and watch over each other in the love that you give us. And Lord, for those of us in this particular part of your family, who happen to be the Baptist bit, Lord, help us, God, to know your heart, to be stirred by your spirit, inspired by your witness and challenged to serve you and your mission in this world. And God, help us to know that in the places where we serve, in our homes and our households, in our places of work, in the social groups that we're a part of. And help us also, Father, to know that, Lord, through the church, not just as individuals, but as a church family, as my brothers and sisters here seek you for how you're leading them in the next season of their lives together. Thank you, God, that you have the plan. Reveal your plan in your way and in your time to these guys. And God, just as you've been the one who's been faithful and provided for the bricks and mortar, well, thank you that you're the one who's faithful and will provide for your mission so that this church grows not in bricks and mortar, but in lives that are turned to you, in lives that are being transformed into your likeness. Lord, may that baptistry be open every week with those that are coming to faith in this place. And God, for those who feel jaded, for those who've served you for a very long time and who think that it's someone else's turn, Lord, may they hear the words, your word, through your word, that it's not complete yet, and that you will carry on to completion that which you started. Please, God, will you stir our hearts and help us to support each other, and help us, God, to know your strength as we move forwards into all that you call us to do. Your blessing be upon these people, and when you've blessed them again, and then after that, double that blessing and bless them more for your kingdom's sake. Amen. 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 Thanks, Andy.